We'll go ahead and get started. Patrick, just let me know when that is running and I'll go ahead and kick things off.
We're good to go.
Okay, awesome. Happy Thursday, everyone. Thank you for coming. Happy to see some familiar faces and some I don't know down in the audience. Welcome to the Secret Network Foundation quarterly update. This particular update is going to be a little bit different than future updates just because we're packing Q3 and Q4 all into one. So our next update in April will just be over the first quarter. So this one might run a little bit longer because we have a lot more to cover. As you know, there was a lot of transitions and new faces, new contributors. So we'll be covering all of that today, and I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. We can get started. And if you can't see it, let me know. Let me just make sure I have...
Looks good to me.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was going to say, I've got my Slack open on my phone just because I'm working off a laptop, so it's kind of hard to sift between everything. All right, so welcome to the 2023 update for the Foundation. We are committed to transparency and accountability, and this includes publishing our activity reports and financial snapshots each quarter, like I mentioned. So we do welcome feedback on our work from all the network partners and community members. I do want to note, we have a lot to get through because we're jam-packing Q3 and Q4 into this presentation. So what I'd like to ask is that we save questions for the end. So you don't forget your question, you can add it to the stage chat. And what I'll do is once we wrap up with all of the slides, I'll go back to the chat and we can start working through those questions. Once those questions are responded to, you know, if it requires pulling someone up on stage to help clarify, we can do that. We'll then open up the floor for further discussion. So I want to make sure we keep time at top of mind because we're stuffing so much into this period of time. So yes, thank you for joining us. We have several members of the Foundation that will be contributing to commentary throughout the presentation. So welcome. What we're going to be covering today is a message from Lisa. A quick overview of timeline of milestones, SNF's purpose, our values, a legal update, financials, an update from the growth team, an update from the ecosystems, partnership business development team, and then at the very end, we'll just review some big wins, what we've learned, and what's ahead. And then we'll end with just a quick review of our 2024 focus. And then we'll jump into a Q&A after that, of course. So I just wanted to let you all know, we put up, at least for now, we might gussy it up a little bit more in the future, but we have a website at Secret Network now that will store all of these quarterly presentations. And there as well is a letter from Lisa. So I just pulled this excerpt from it. Over the past 6 months, I've gotten to know many of you, and I've been stunned by your perseverance, loyalty, and astonishing skill. As a community, you have witnessed the longest crypto winter in blockchain history, the fall of many so-called privacy projects, and the arrests of high-profile figures in the industry. Through these experiences and many others that shaped our days, weeks, and months, your shared passion was the bedrock of Secret Network. Today and moving forward, we are focusing on positioning ourselves squarely in the data protection and confidential computing space, on spreading the word through appearances at conferences and podcasts, and on attracting new builders to our ecosystem through partnerships and hackathons. So you can read the full letter from Lisa at the link here. I will also, if actually someone wants to grab this link and throw it in the stage chat, somebody on the SNF crew, if you can help
just
me out.
That.
Thank you. But it'll live on that landing page that we have created. And then, like I said, we'll take this slide deck and leave it there as well for posterity. Here's a quick glance at the summary for Q3, Q4. I do not know why this one thing keeps going missing. I guess I added an animation to it and didn't know it. So just looking through from Q3 to Q4, obviously Q3 is when we had the leadership transition. And another major event there was the secret agency essentially dissolving and or reconstructing, and we took on some members of that team. However, the headcount was cut by 70%. And also in August, Secret Ethereum was announced. And if you move on to September, we had the network upgrade. We also announced Confidential Computing Constellation. Moving into October, we released our developer, well, the Secret Labs released developer roadmap. And then we had a few team members, including myself, hop on board. And then November, December, while we had tons of events going on at this time, it was a very heavy event period with conferences, speaking engagements. We kicked off our process for filling board member positions. And then in December, SNF did officially assume responsibility for ecosystem's growth. Our inflation proposal, or the community's inflation proposal, passed, so inflation was lowered. I thought this was a big thing to highlight. On SNF's side, the grants program launched, and we launched our first office hours, which are here today at the second official office hours, which is also the quarterly update. And then down at the bottom, just to kind of show you how the team fluctuated during this period of time, and we're going to go into more detail on this in the financials slide. But you can see here, core contributors, which we would define and we will define through the rest of the presentation as people who, this is their main contract that they're working on, is within Secret Network, and or they're contributing upwards of 40 hours a week, so similar to a full-time person. And then we have several contractors, part-time contributors. So I won't read this entire purpose. This will be for you all to sift through, but I did want to read the middle section that I have bolded here, which is, our mission is to embed data privacy as a fundamental feature in every Web3 application, championing a world where personal and corporate information is safeguarded with utmost integrity. So we're really trying to make sure we're creating these kind of abstract North Stars as we go into this new year, so we can all remember whenever we're working on different projects, considering partners and working with different developers, that we all have this fundamental purpose and mission at the core. Secret Network Foundation values are as follows. It's innovation and growth of confidential computing, confidential data empowerment, and community collaboration. So this will be what we'll be striving to uphold in this coming year. And once again, I will have this slide deck available for everyone to review after this. So because we have so much information to get through, I don't want to spend too much time reading through everything. So next up, I'm going to have Lisa jump up here to review our legal update for the foundation.
Thanks, Megan. All right, so I think this is kind of the core of what some people are interested in. So we'll take a little more time on this. I'm going to start by describing the legal structure of the new foundation. So Secret Network Foundation was formed as a Cayman Island non-member organization on August 1st of last year. So our nominee director is autonomous, and they take direction from the supervisory team, which we're calling the board, and that currently consists of one member of Secret Labs. The formation documents that we created for SNF indicate that the supervisory board, the supervisory team, or the board, will be expanded to three members, one of whom will be from Secret Labs, and the other two appointed by Secret Labs for the initial three-year term. So that process is in, that is in process right now, identifying who those people are, reaching out to them, getting agreement, and figuring out the terms of their engagement. I lost the, was it just me or did the slide deck go away?
The deck went away.
I think we lost Megan actually.
Oh. Okay.
Here, let me.
So let me just pull it up.
I'll pull it back up. I'm here.
Okay.
Had an issue. One second, sorry. Okay. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So following the initial term, so the first year term, the first 3 year term will have Secret Labs appointing the other two supervisors or board members. And then following that initial term, those two board members would be elected by majority vote from the community. More details on how that works, but that essentially that's it, that the community will be responsible for appointing, voting in two members of the supervisory team, which is acting as the board. Next slide. So in 2023, the way we're funded was we had, SNF had a service contract with SFI, the former, the organization that was formerly promoting the ecosystem, to support the layer one blockchain secret, including marketing, business development, and ecosystem support in 2023. We signed the first service contract with SFI for the last 5 months of 2023. So from inception, which was August 1st, until through the end of December. So the value that we received was 500,000 stable coins. But some of these funds were allocated to startup expenses for SNF before the organization was created. So it wasn't like those were spent before we started operations. The amount we started with in August was 348,000 USD, actually in stable coins, not USD. In addition to that, SNF received approximately 539,000 secret tokens from Secret Labs to bootstrap ourselves in August of 2023. By the end of December, we had spent all of the stable coins. So the 348,000 was spent, and we ended the year, some of the tokens were spent as well. So we ended the year with 250,000 secret tokens. So that was 2023. Going forward for 2024, SNF has signed a new service contract with SFI for the first half of 2024 in the amount of 400,000 stable coins, 100,000 USD fiat, and around 1 million secret. And we've received payment for all of those from SFI. SNF intends to create another separate contract for services in the last half of 2024, and that will represent the final services contract with SFI. And just a little wrinkle there for tax compliance, the majority of those funds, the funds that we receive from SFI, will need to be spent in 2024. In the future, going forward, the funding for SNF is undetermined. It'll be discussed based on the organization's growth plan, our proven successes, and reasonable expectations for traction, given past performance, given our plans, given how well we're doing. The most likely scenario is that the foundation will request a specific budget to accomplish specific objectives through a proposal for reinstatement of a tax mechanism, similar to what was in place before for the prior organization. So that's a lot of information, but our goal here is to provide transparency to the community about the funding that we're receiving and how it's being spent. We'll go into a little more detail now about how those funds were spent last year in 2023 and what buckets they were put into. But at the end, I'm happy to take questions about what I've presented on the legal side.
Great, thank you, Lisa. So I'll move into financials, and we'll start with just a general overview of total operating costs for Q3 and Q4 of 2023. I've created three separate buckets here to talk about the different costs. So we have events, people, and admin, which is essentially like operating costs subscriptions, any like true outside vendors or contractors that we had to use for one-offs, accountants, things like that. So as you can see here, total spend for Q3 was around 226, and then Q4 was 292. But it's important to note Q3, because our we didn't begin running any of the expenses until August. So Q3 only includes August and September. So there were no individuals on payroll or anything like that in July. So that's whenever the full transition was happening. There were some costs accrued in July, and we'll go into that on the events page. But moving on. Here's the breakdown of people costs. So like I had mentioned, we have July, which was prior to having everyone come on board officially as SNF contractors and contributors. And I noted that on the side, August was the first month for official operations. So average monthly, not including July, was about $68,139. And then this is general growth and events costs. So this is conferences, speaking engagements, all the travel that goes into that on top of any marketing materials that are needed. And then, of course, the general growth costs are things like paid advertising, any paid content that was spent, any materials like that. So July included a commitment from a commitment that was made prior before SNF took over. So that's why there is a larger chunk of event spend in July for one particular event. And then if you look at October, obviously that's a huge difference as well, but this is when the majority of the spend for all of our events in Q4 took place. And you'll see when we get to the events page, it was roughly 22 events just within Q3 and Q4. So I think about 8 to 9 happened down at the end of Q4, so or at the end of the year, I mean. So you'll see that on the events page. And then here are general operation costs. So admin costs, like I mentioned, subscriptions, vendors, and then October included some website migration assistance. So you'll see that fluctuate. And then August was a lot of startup costs and creating new accounts for different subscriptions. And then all of this backs up into these totals, just so you know. Okay, I feel like I kind of zipped through those, but we'll have some time to ask questions about that during the Q&A portion, but we'll go ahead and move on to growth. So Jay, if you want to join me up here with Lindsay and Anubis, and we can start working through that.
Absolutely, thanks. Welcome everybody. So Q3, Q4, I just want to go through some of the tentpole initiatives that we took care of, not to the exclusion of everything else, but these are just some of the big ticket items that we developed. So first things first, Secret VRF, an incredible technological breakthrough that the labs team developed. We wanted to take advantage of that by promoting it through paid marketing, paid growth initiatives. And we were very successful in demoing the process, the tech on site, and also virtually through the roulette game that was created. The pain point of that was that it was very niche, and it was very difficult to really fully market and leverage it as a driving asset to Secret Network and its offerings. We're reprising that Secret VRF initiative in Denver. We have some opportunities through hackathons and booth activation where we are redoubling our efforts in how we engage people with it. Moving forward, Secret Ethereum, the campaign was very successful in the beginning. Excellent synergy with the Ethereum community. We got a lot of positive feedback and we were growing engagement. The issue we ran into was in paid advertising, we we opened our initiative to help support Shade as a partner. And in doing so, we were suspended from Google Ads because it was a DeFi setup. And even though we weren't promoting the sale of anything, because it was a DeFi situation, we were suspended in all paid advertising. We ended up pivoting into a guerrilla marketing tactic, which we are going to get. We'll be explaining that a little bit further in this presentation. Events, and you'll see on upcoming slides how prolific we became with events for Q3 and Q4. We had incredible team activation on site. We had great engagement, not only within the community, but also people who came up to us. We had conversations we had, both people in the know of Secret and people who were completely green to what Secret Network was all about. So we had some good conversations. The pain point was that the pipeline activation in general on site needed to be a little bit more specific in the conversations that we were having and how we would onboard people by content generation, lead generation, and things like that. Based on those experiences, we have developed a new SOP as we move forward into 24 to really hone in on developers and relevant community members that we would like to bring on board. Throughout Q3, Q4, we had a very behind-the-scenes drip campaign. Like I said, I mentioned a guerrilla campaign that we had to administer because of the lack of paid opportunities. Anubis will be speaking on that shortly, but we leveraged all of our social media accounts, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, Telegram, Discord, LinkedIn as well. The pain point, again, obviously, is our inability to use Google Ads and paid Twitter for said reasons I explained. But it didn't prevent us from having solid engagement, especially in Reddit. We were really able to get into a lot of conversations. Pain point was the inability, again, to have Google Ads and paid Twitter. We successfully announced the activation for Lisa and Alex Z to come on board. They were very well received in and around the community, and we were able to wrap up community integration with their announcement. The pain point, obviously, we're in the middle of a transition from the old foundation to the existing foundation, and so there were some pain points where we were trying to resolve community concerns while onboarding them in addition. Let's move on to the next slide, and we can talk about other growth accomplishments. So in addition to these tentpole items, we were successful in migrating our website to WordPress. We completed it last week, or at the beginning of this week, actually, and it is up and running. We are going through some QC, making sure that all links are working, all references are up and running. We are now fully self-reliant for our brand update coming up. We are going to activate SEO and daily activation of other initiatives, but we have autonomy to do so. And we are planning on bringing in an SEO expert to help us clean these things up prior to the brand refresh and through that launch. We also initiated HubSpot. We created a contract with them the end of the year to really put all of our CRM and BD marketing BD funnel in under one hood. It also integrates with MailChimp, Zapier, and all the other third-party programs that we're using. So it really is going to become a one-stop shop for all of us. It'll also assist with onboarding forms on site, doing questionnaires, and automating all of our databases through monday.com, which we are currently using. We did launch very quietly, a soft launch of Galaxy last year in October. And Anubis I'd like to bring him up to stage to talk a little bit more about it. But just to tee that off, he activated three very, very low-key campaigns that had incredible growth. And then the last thing I want to say before I'd like Anubis to jump through some of these things is we were able to optimize our social media strategy by bringing him on board. And he has been instrumental in managing the guerrilla tactics that we've been doing up to date. So Anubis, I'd love for you to walk everyone through briefly Galaxy and some of the things that we're doing on our multi-channel integrated strategies.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Awesome. Okay, so I guess I'll start with kind of the socials and then move into Galaxy. So yeah, first of all, the focused multi-channel strategy, it's basically what I've done is combined all of the social channels into a single calendar. So I'm able to actually, schedule content and strategize by looking at each platform and each account side by side. So I'm able to kind of engage with the main account using the Secret Agency Ambassador account. And also, I've pretty recently, this was more towards the end of Q4, also started assisting with some content with the Secret Labs account. So and then each platform and each, I guess, entity, because there's labs, there's foundation, and then agency, each entity has a different voice, and then each platform has a different audience. So basically the integrated strategy is, using those different voices and audiences, in a strategic way to get, better results. Guerrilla marketing tactics. So we did at the end of Q4, actually during Q4, like Jay mentioned, right around the time I came onto socials with Foundation, we had barely kicked off the VRF campaign, and that was paid advertising, and then so I was able to kind of learn from our, our experience there. And one of the things that, was a learning experience was let's try a guerrilla tactics. I know we've gotten some of that same feedback in community as well. So what I did was tapped a few of the more experienced agents that I know are rather good at, content creation, and also knowledgeable in the tech so that they can easily enter into discussions organically. And the results proved itself through Secret Ethereum. So Secret Ethereum was our next campaign, and where we kind of introduced Guerrilla, the Guerrilla tactics. One of the main metrics that I can just highlight here, I don't want to go too long because I know we still have a lot to go through. One of the call to action for both VRF and for Secret Ethereum was visit the developer docs, right? Our documentation website pages. And so the difference between the two campaigns was around 80% growth in new users visiting the developer docs. So our average throughout Q3 compared to our average throughout Q4 was a very incredible growth there on the main call to action. So just for example, we're able to see that there's some real result there. Now, kind of tease me off into Galaxy. So another thing we did, and this was completely organic, I didn't do very much promotion with this because I was kind of learning the platform and testing how it was going to work, what's the response going to be. So initially, I just set up three campaigns for testing purposes, aimed towards kind of migrating the old agency missions over to Galaxy. Not necessarily for agency, but we're no matter what we do with the Secret Agency, we're going to need an ambassador program of some sort. So the idea is kind of onboard and get some social engagement, things like this. And the long-term plan is to kind of turn some of that mission set into more of guerrilla marketing with the full community rather than the small team that I'm currently working with. The other main focus on Galaxy, and which is actually going to be launching this quarter, is more of a focused developer community engagement platform. So the idea is targeting developers, creating kind of a gamified experience for onboarding developers, and pointing them in the right direction for the tools that they need, our developer resources, visiting our docs, pointing them towards our tutorials, things like this. So that's kind of a work in progress. The notable win there, and actually the doc here on the screen says that we grew to 4,240. That number has actually changed to 4,378 since we wrote that. So our followers and participations continue to go up. And again, this is all organic. So it's pretty cool. And it kind of coincides with our Ethereum and EVM focus as well. Anyone in the community that's used Galaxy will know the platform is very kind of focused on the EVM ecosystem. So that's been a success for sure. And then, like I say, kind of moving forward, we're going to be building out the developer community strategy. So I'm not sure. Did I miss anything there, Jay?
No, you nailed it. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the color and context.
Yeah, no problem.
No worries. Let's move forward. You saw there was quite a bit of a spend on events, and I wanted to go through some of the events that we went to in Q3 and Q4. And you're going to see a big difference with how we used to approach in-person activation versus what we started in Q3 and Q4. I'm going to just go over a quick overview of everything, and I'd like to bring Lindsay up to add context and color to really help everyone understand the strategy behind what we did starting in Q3, Q4, as we move into 2024. So as we launched in Q3, our series of events, you'll see there were several things that we did while we were in Paris. We were there for about a week, but a little over a week, but we had almost as many events as we were there in days. So we started Q3 off in Paris, then moved to Toronto, Las Vegas, and Rio. Lindsay, I'd love for you to add a little context to why we were doing so many things in a short period of time, what our strategy was in on location, please.
Hey, yeah. So part of the strategy was based on some prior commitments. And so because we had those commitments, we tried to make the most of it. A lot of our event activations tend to be fairly long. And I think part of that is if we're going to travel, we're going to try to make the most of it. And so last year, as a lot of people probably know, ECC is in different cities every year. So 2024, it'll be in Brussels. 2023, it was in Paris. And not only was there an Ethereum conference, but there was also a Cosmos conference. And so it made a lot of sense for us to be able to activate and also activate heavily, because that is when we were starting to tease the Ethereum roadmap. And so the timing was really well for our event structure as far as the goals to promote the network. And so I thought our Paris activation was probably one of our better activations. We were also able to be in Toronto, where we were in a hackathon with Phoenix. And so that was kind of exciting to kind of dip our toes into the hackathon. Lisa also had some great speaking engagement in Vegas. And then we ended Q3 with an extremely successful activation in Brazil at Rio Blockchain. And it was really exciting for us because people were coming up to the booth to talk to myself and to talk to Luca. And they had really interesting use cases already in mind for how they could utilize Secret, and use cases that I had at least never heard of or thought about. And so it was really exciting to not only see growth, but really creative growth as far as how people could utilize Secret for whatever, project they're working on.
So as we move on to Q4, on the next slide, we hit a lot more cities. You'll notice that we were in Italy. We went to Milan, Rome, and then back to Milan. But we started in Istanbul with Cosmoverse. It's the second Cosmoverse we attended. First one was last year in Medellin, Colombia. But we hit Istanbul. And then, Lindsay, can you just kind of walk us through some of the activation on points of what we did in Rome, Milan, and then ultimately what Pope Black was able to accomplish in Africa?
Yeah, absolutely. So Q4 started off with a bang. Q4 actually was with, so it was Istanbul, so Cosmoverse. So Q4 was, the beginning of it was a little, we were quite busy. So we had three different activations going on at the same time. We had some of the Phoenix and Secret Labs team in Istanbul leading workshops for Cosmoverse at the same time. We had Skrilla and Lisa at ETH Milan, where Lisa was speaking. And then several of us were at the time in Rome for the first ETH Rome. And so we got a lot done in a very short period of time. But after the Istanbul and Milan activations, Lisa and Alexi joined us in Rome for the inaugural ETH Rome, which was focused, one of the tracks was privacy. And so it was really good synergy for what we were wanting to accomplish. And we thought it was a fantastic event. We will be participating in ETH Rome again this year. So that's kind of how we started Q4, started off with a bang, because all of these things happened inside of 2 weeks. So we were in literally, you know, three different places in inside of probably 12 days. And I think that was really not only a success on our side, but just great support from the community that we had, you know, people supporting us in different areas. So that was really great. And then in November was NearCon, where both Alex Z and Lisa were able to speak. And then we kind of capped the year off with some of the fantastic events that Pope Black has been running in Africa. He was extremely busy with various different events, including one of the events where Secret got an award for like Africa FinTech. And so it was great to see our community staying strong in Africa, and Pope has been doing a fantastic job leading them.
Thanks, Lindsay. And just to wrap up the events for Q through Q4, you've noticed that we've done a huge amount of events in a short period of time. We've definitely switched our ethos from how we were doing events prior to this. Instead of doing big ticket events, large expensive activations at conferences, we're really taking advantage of where our core audience, our core demo is. So where are the developers? How are we approaching Cosmos versus Ethereum versus both of them combined? And so that's how we're moving forward. And we started with Q3 leading into Q4. And now as we're launching 24, we're really focusing on the biggest bang for our buck while driving the expenses down, really the efficacy of our efforts and maximizing that. So at the end of this this presentation, if you have any questions about events, activation, things like that, I'm absolutely free to answer any questions you may have. But that wraps up growth and events.
Thank you, Jay, Lindsay, and Anubis. And just to note, whenever we post this presentation, all of these thumbnails are listed that are listed on here. Go to our YouTube channel so you can watch any of these if you're interested in checking them out. Okay, now moving on to ecosystem. So I know I have Patrick and Alex here, and potentially Sean if he wants to hop in on any of these. Patrick, I'll go ahead and let you start walking through.
Before you go into that, Megan, I just wanted to go back a little because there was a couple mistakes on previous slides. So just to correct those, on slide 9, the legal update, I missed one of the wallets. I missed reporting on one of the wallets. So what we received from SFI for the first contract was the 500,000 stablecoin, plus we also got 842,000 secret. And that's in a separate wallet. So I forgot to include it and mention it, but I wanted to make sure that was clear. So we ended the year with 842 plus 250,000. That's one. And then And another, I just wanted to go to slide 13 because the numbers, no, that's, can you refresh, mm-hmm. Megan?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's the people costs. They were a little skewed before, but that's the actual people costs. So that is updated as well. We can come back for questions, but please go ahead with the ecosystem now.
Look at these sharp cats. There we go. All right. Patrick, hop on up.
Hey, can you hear me good?
Yes, loud and clear.
All right, so from the ecosystem side, starting off, one of the first things, one of the most important things that really affects a lot of these things on the slide is that we improved our workflows with Secret Labs and really tightly integrated our communications. And that's, I think that's been really a huge improvement just between the Foundation and Secret Labs over the past 6 months. All of our internal communications are pretty much on Slack now, and Secret Labs is present in a lot of those channels, and we have meetings with them every week. So almost everything we do is very much hand in hand with Secret Labs, which has been a great improvement. So with that in mind, contributed to the Secret Network roadmap for 2024, had some input on what would be on that roadmap and how we would achieve it. We helped launch the grants program again. We relaunched it and we put a lot of time into reviewing grant submissions, meeting with the teams, discussing the milestones and development ideas, and working with Secret Labs to figure out which ones would be the best choice. We put some time into tokenomics research, figuring out the best strategy, and that's still an ongoing process, of course, but an initial reduction in inflation was achieved when we put out, or when someone, I think Alex actually put out a proposal for that. Delegation review for the validator delegations along with Secret Labs, we helped to review all the delegation requests and gave feedback on that. That's also still a work in progress. Developed privacy as a service primitives. Now, this is something that our DevRel team has poured a ton of time into. Secret Labs obviously kicked us off with the VRF implementation earlier in 2023. And at first that was just for IBC, but over the past 6 months, we put a lot of time into developing EVM documentation and design concepts for cross-chain EVM privacy as a service. And also of course, improving the documentation around both IBC and EVM privacy as a service. So if you haven't taken a look at the developer documentation for cross-chain privacy as a service, definitely check that out. There's a lot of new stuff in there. Some stuff even coming out like as soon as this week around private voting on EVM chains. And the next updated and improved developer documentation. So not just around privacy as a service, but the entire documentation in general has been greatly improved over the past 6 months. I've seen a lot of people recognize that, and I don't think anybody would disagree that we're in a much better state now than we were any time in the past. So huge improvements there. We've announced some partnerships over the past 6 months with Octopus, which is a near protocol chain, Andromeda Protocol, Dimex, and Nullus. And these are all partnerships that actually involved some sort of technical integration. Some of them are already complete. Some of them are still in progress. Publicized various network updates and ecosystem launches through blogs and social media. This item covers tons and tons and tons of stuff, but to summarize it shortly, network upgrade 1.11, inflation change proposal, bridge migration, some ecosystem dApps like Serenity Shield mainnet launch, the BidShop showcase, which was a great example of early privacy as a service use. Various Shade protocol updates, tons of those, Alta roadmap, and MetaMask integrations. Those are just some of what we did in that category, but couldn't put them all on this slide. So we'll go to the next slide. So we hosted 12 Twitter spaces with different partners and secret team members. And those were just ones we hosted ourselves. I'm not sure the exact total spaces we also participated in that other people hosted, but those were the ones we hosted ourselves. And also, this is another item that is just, you know, it's a couple sentences, but really tons and tons of time went into providing technical support to integrations like Axelar, Squid, Skip, CoinMarketCap, CoinGecko, Anchor, Kepler, et cetera, and also to our native secret dApps and tools. So that's a lot of work that goes on in the background that I feel like doesn't get enough appreciation, and it's kind of hard to get visibility on, but a ton of time goes into that, just ensuring that things are running smoothly and that people outside of our ecosystem are getting the support they need to properly integrate Secret Network. So all of those things are things that are out in the public now, but I wanted to also cover things that have been worked on that aren't publicly announced, because kind of similar to that technical support that goes on in the background, a lot of business development communication goes on that hasn't yet been publicly announced, but has definitely, a lot of progress has been made there. So I know this is a little vague, but we wanted to include these things just to give you an idea of what we've been working on and what should be announced probably within Q1. So I'll just read through these. Helped 4 new teams start building out their product on Secret natively. Onboarded another 2 privacy as a service projects to finish their integration on mainnet in Q1. Scoped out a set of 5 Cosmos modules, of which 2 are with well-known Cosmos teams and we think will be a great benefit to Secret Network overall. Initiated a wormhole integration process, which is kind of just, we're waiting on them at this point, but hopefully we'll get that integrated within Q1. Worked with aggregators on putting secret support on the roadmap, and that's things like Squid and IBC.fun, Skip, cross-chain aggregation. Started multiple deals with projects around archive information, indexers, and audit tools, and hope to bring a combined package of multiple closed leads to Secret before the end of Q1. So there's a lot of stuff there, and I know it's kind of vague, but I just wanted to give you an idea of the types of stuff that have been worked on over the past 2 quarters and is being worked on probably even more now in Q1. And we hope to have a lot to show for that over the coming months.
Awesome. Thank you, Patrick. And just in the interest of time, I want to keep moving so we can get to our Q&A section. So this is our closing here, which is just a general overview of some big wins, what we've learned, you know, some mistakes along the way, and then what's to come. So I know, Lisa, you wanted to cover big wins and what we've learned, and then we'll go ahead and send off with what's to come.
All right, cool. So ETHROAM was a really great hackathon that we did this year, and it was the first time that ETHROAM had done a hackathon. I know Lindsay mentioned it, but it was really good because we had Alex and Alex there, and it was just we got people excited. So we got to see that it is possible to get developers excited about building on Secret if you just have the right framework and the right parameters. So for me, it was highly encouraging and kind of a model, a template that we can use to onboard new hackers on different ecosystems. Like, I think that could totally work on Solana, Near, et cetera, as well as ETH. So we're using that template kind of for the ETH Denver event that's upcoming. But yeah, ETHROAM was really very, very deep learnings and very successful. Over this past 6 months or so, I've really been pleased to see the ongoing communication and stronger working relationships and alignment between the foundation and labs. So we've been really working to establish those. It takes intention to be able to work together from 2 different, completely different perspectives. So I think because that has been a priority, we've made quite a lot of progress. And I do feel like we're working together towards a common goal now. Privacy and as a service was announced, and then the Constellation narrative was announced. And both of these, along with Secret Ethereum, helped to shape how we talk about Secret Network and how we see ourselves growing over the future. And then also we got an invitation to a Bankless event as a keynote speaker. on privacy in Web3.
And then walking through what we've learned, you know, that ample communication and transparency with the community is definitely something we want to be prioritizing. Definitely vetting events better. So this was, you know, something that was touched on by the growth team. And then I would let Patrick maybe or Alex speak a little bit more on this, and we could talk about it in the Q&A, but just the secret VRF campaign, you know, Alex definitely mentioning that the tech wasn't necessarily ready for a larger market, thus our campaign had pretty poor outcomes. And then also, personally on my end, it's been really great to help contribute to organizing the team and making sure we're monitoring performance more closely, piecing together opportunities like this to review everything that we're working on. And then what's to come? This next quarterly update will be in April. We're working on a brand refresh, and that's looking to be wrapping up around Q2. Some future drip campaigns with onboarding new devs. We got a secret hackathon, which is going to be super exciting. If you haven't checked out all the details on that, that's all available now. New privacy as a service solutions, new partnership announcement, and new dApp launches. And then, of course, if you guys saw the news today about Polygon, that's exciting as well. So our focus going into 2024 is positioning Secret Network most effectively as a part of this Constellation expansion, growing our ecosystem of builders and projects through outreach and support of existing projects, connecting us to new relevant partnerships in the privacy and greater crypto community, raising more brand awareness around our positioning and partnerships, improving our relationship to the secret community and increasing participation and collaboration, and then organizing the foundation with strong communication lines and internal tools to prepare for an imminent bull run. So thank you very much. We're going to move it over to questions. I will keep this slide open for now, just so it's easier to do that. So, does anyone want to request to come up on stage for your question? I'm looking, scrolling up here to the top. The 11th, let's see. So we've got the links that you all posted. Okay, let's look here at I am a salmon. So that question is, does Slabs appointing the board of a nonprofit such as SNF create a conflict of interest? Lisa, do you want to take that one?
Can you repeat the question or show me where it is?
Yeah, it's does Slabs appointing the board of SNF create a conflict of interest? So just wondering if like Labs participating in helping us fill the board create a conflict of interest.
So if the idea for the board is to have a transition period and be able to slowly decentralize, you know, the process of centralization to decentralization is always challenging, as we've seen with many chains. So the idea here is that we're transitioning power over the board selection to the community. And the 2-year period, the initial 2-year period, is meant to be that transition period. So the board would be initially appointed by Labs. And then after 2 years, the community has, I didn't mention this because it gets complicated, but just the community does have some powers there. The community has the ability to kick anyone off the board with a 2/3 majority. So if the community doesn't like anybody that has been appointed after a certain period of time, they can remove them. In order to elect a new person, the community only needs a simple majority. But if there's a consensus that someone should not be on the board, then that person can be removed with the 2/3 majority. So, I mean, it's like what we're trying to do is to decentralize responsibly. And I think I should coin that term, but because that could be applied to a lot of different situations. So just being able to distribute power in a way that doesn't cause a huge disruption or transition. So did that answer the question?
He's actually typing right now, so I imagine he might have a comment coming in. So his continuous question is, do you think a two-thirds vote by the community against the will of Secret Labs is possible?
Do I think that? I would definitely defer to people who know the community better. I've seen a few votes, but I don't know how loyalties lie. But I imagine it would be. Does anyone else want to answer that question? Here, from the team? Maybe Patrick?
Is he talking about a board vote?
Is there, so because the initial
on-chain
numbers,
vote.
Yeah, on-chain vote.
Are you asking, like, purely does the community holders have the numbers, like the voting power to do that? Is that what you're asking? That, I don't know about it. It's hard to know how many tokens are held by, community members, I guess you could say, but how do you define a community member? Just anybody not under Secret Labs payroll?
I don't see him responding again in the chat. Oh, yes, he says, yes, thanks. So I think that did give him some
clarification. I mean, I don't really have a good answer. That's hard to say how many token holders are out there that aren't Secret Labs.
So we did just have that set of questions in the chat. So if anyone in the audience would like to request to speak, if you have a question that you would just like to ask on stage, now's the time. Happy to go back to any particular slides that you want clarification on. If anyone has any questions. Just give everyone an extra minute. And like I said, too, I'll be putting this presentation up so you can download the PDF version of it and review it in your own time on the page that we'll be sharing. I don't know if, Patrick, you already posted that page in the chat with the Lisa's letter.
Yeah, we'll add this slide to the slideshow to it and the audio recording as well.
Oh, good. I'm just going to share this again at the bottom of the chat in case anyone missed it. Oh, wait, no. There we go. And there's that again. All right, looks like Salmon is asking any updates on new exchange listings or progress in that area. Patrick, did you want to take that?
I would just say that we are working on it. It is something that we're working on right now. I can't say anything other than that because nothing's been publicly announced yet and nothing's certain, but we are working on it. So hope to have some updates on that in Q1 for sure.
Yeah, I have a feeling we'll probably have a good update with more specifics in our Q1 quarterly report. Thank you for the questions.
There's another question on from Emma Salmon. Any updates on new exchange listings or progress?
Yep, and we just covered that one.
Oh, okay. Sorry, missed it.
Yeah, Patrick just got that one. Okay, cool. I'll give you all one more moment if anyone wants to jump up on stage and ask any questions or drop something in the secret stage chat. We'd love to have you. We're here for you all right now.
I'm just going to go ahead and end the recording since the presentation part's over. Don't want to have too much dead air in there.
Okay. And also, I do realize, you know, this presentation was pretty long. But like I said, I think in April, when we do this again, it's going to be much more reasonable and give a lot more time for discussion at the end. So we're not